Well, we certainly couldn't think of a better way than to introduce this whole idea of just sharing a message with you guys today about Dream On. And that we as a church, that really I hope that when we finish today, that you're going to see that we're just getting started. We are just getting started. The dream is on, and we are just getting started. Pray with me. God, I thank you that you have allowed us the privilege of being able to represent you and share you with other people for 15 years. God, for the impact that you've done through us. God, the life change that's taken place. And God, just the joy of knowing that we've had so many people that have been part of this process of sharing your hope, your message, your truth with others. God, we believe that you have a great future in store for us. And God, I pray that as we just look a little bit into this and understand scripturally what it is that you ask of us, God, that we would be looking forward and longing to be part of what you're getting ready to do. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, it certainly has been. It's been 15 years of ministry, and it is like, wow, how did 15 years pass by so quickly? Because they did. And I've been here since the beginning to be able to see all of this unfold. And since the beginning as a church, we knew that why we were here, we knew that we had this purpose. And the purpose for which God has given us to be here is to reach seekers and build believers for the kingdom of God. That's why we're here. Unapologetically, we want to reach people who are far from God. And we want to take people that they already are convinced of who Christ is, and we want to help grow them in their faith journey. And as we set out to do this, we didn't have a great strategy at first, and we just knew, hey, this is what we're going to do. But it took us a few years to come up with a strategy, and how are we going to go about making this happen? And when it comes to a purpose is something that doesn't change, that it is locked in, that is our purpose, but a mission or the strategy, that's something that it can change with time. How is it that you go about achieving your purpose? And so we ended up coming up with a mission strategy. We were about 5 years old, and we had these four pieces of our mission strategy. Well, since then, we've been doing a little bit of tweaking and fine-tuning and looking and seeing, hey, is our mission, is that still the right way? Is that still the right path? And we've rearranged a couple of things, and we've added something as well. And so I just want to share those with you. That for us, when we said, hey, we want to be able to effectively do all that we can do, that where are we going to start with our mission strategy? And we're going to start by engaging culture. That's what we want to do as a church. As a church, we want to engage culture. We want to meet people right where they are. We want them to feel like, hey, I can come here and I feel like I can belong right away and I can get it. I understand it. I understand what's happening. So the way that we dress, the Bible translation that we use, we want it to be simple, understandable from the songs we sing, i.e. Dream On. I mean, we want to engage culture. And so this is where we start with our mission strategy. We made some adjustments and said, you know what, for us, the second thing that we really want to do is we want to enable people to serve. That we want to allow people to feel like, you know what, hey, you absolutely have something to contribute. We absolutely believe that you have something that you can do, that you can add value to the ministries that we're part of. And this was an adjustment for us when we were a few years old, because for the first few years of ministry, we were the church that said, hey, once you become a member of our church, then we would love for you to volunteer here. And we were about 5 years old when we were like, that's probably not the best strategy for us. That probably what we need to do is we need to free people up, enable them to be able to serve, allow them to use their gifts, their passions, and allow them to be able to come in and plug in and serve and add value. That they can add value. People, you guys, whether you believe or not, there's things that you can do and you can add value to the ministry with what we do. And so we enable people to serve. The third piece for us is experience community. That our desire is people would experience community and feel like, oh, you know what? There's people that care for me. There's people that know me. They love me. I feel like I'm valued here. That there is this sense of experiencing community. In fact, for us, one of our values is that we want people to know that you can belong here before you ever even believe what it is that we believe. That you can find community and you can find belonging, you can find people that care for you, even though you might be here and go, I don't believe too much about what that pastor says or what they're teaching my kids, but that you feel loved and you feel valued and you feel cared for. And you go, so I'll keep coming back. Now, here's the dirty little secret. We actually hope that you'll keep coming back so that you will believe what we believe. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said, that's not that important. It is important. But you have the freedom to belong here even when you don't believe what we believe. For us, the fourth piece in our mission strategy is we want to expand the kingdom of God. That we're here to be able to share the hope, the life-changing hope, the eternal-changing hope of God. And when people come to see that and they understand that and they bow their hearts to Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that God's kingdom gets expanded, that there's more people get brought in to the family of God. And that this is part of our mission strategy, is that we're doing church so that we can share this love and hope with people who have been far from God, that can get to know God. And this other piece that we've recently added, and as we've added it, it was kind of like, well, you know what, we've been about this, but we just didn't see, hey, we have to be really intentional about this, and we have to make sure that this is what we are doing and what we are about, and that is equipping believers, that we would equip them, that we would equip them in their faith, we'd equip them in how it is that they're going to go about being able to serve their Lord and their Savior, but we're going to equip them. That is our mission strategy. I can still remember the beginning of our story. That in January of 2003, myself and one other pastor, we were on staff at Parkway. And we were on staff at this church, and that church met on this address, not in this particular building, but we met on this address. We were a church that at one point we had five pastors, and we were down to two. The church had been just dwindling and declining. And I remember the 2 years before the end of Parkway, that we had assembled a team of people. It was a small team. We met every week. We prayed together. We sought the heart of God. God, why do you have us here? What is it that we're supposed to be? And what is it we're supposed to do? We spent almost a year just seeking the heart of God. We felt like God had given us some specific direction. We went from that to we went to what we called an implementation team. And we tripled the size of our team. And we started looking at how do we go about doing these very things that we feel like God's called us to do and be, to be able to reach our community. And the one thing that we had saw that we wanted was we wanted unity. But as soon as we went to this implementation team, we certainly lacked some unity. And it just didn't go over the way that we thought everything was going to play out. Well, our pastor, he was just burnt out and he was wore out. And so he ended up resigning. And when he resigned, I said, I was the youth pastor. And I said, I'll teach for 6 months while we get organized and figure out what we're going to do. But I'd really like for us to go all in on really what we felt like God had revealed to us before. We sought his heart and saw that we needed to make some changes and some adjustments. And we only went partway in. And I just think that we've got to go all in. And so through that, we started pushing forward. We came up with this very clear understanding of we're here to reach seekers and build believers. And we laid it out. We put it in print. We said, this is our purpose. This is what we are going to be and do as a church. We talked about rebranding the church and just getting a fresh start and rebooting who we were. We came up with the name Crosspoint. It's the point of the cross is why we exist as a church. And as a church, it's our responsibility to be pointing people to the cross. And so Crosspoint, it was the logical name. We ended up having to take this thing to a church vote. We're going to change our name. We're going to rebrand. We're going to reboot. We're going to start over. We're going to start fresh, move forward. Well, it required a 66% approval. Well, we were 65.7%. vote. And I remember being asked, Will, are we still going to do this? And I said, oh yeah, we are. And we took this grip it and rip it approach and said, we have nothing to lose because the church, we're just dying and declining and the doors are going to end up getting shut if we don't do something differently. And so when when I took over and our previous pastor had resigned, I was handed a church in the 140s. And in 3 months underneath my leadership, we were able to take this church and we were able to move from being a church in the 140s and we became a church in the 90s. Not exactly the direction and how I thought things were going to just go out right out of the gates. But as we launched and started Crosspoint, we had just under 100 people. And today, we will have more than 100 preschoolers on our campus. Quite a difference. Yeah, quite a difference over the last 15 years of just seeing the impact and what's taking place in ministry. That as I reflect back, we've had over 10,000 people come through our doors in 15 years. We've had over 1,000 people make that first-time decision to trust Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. We've had almost 300 people get baptized and experience believer's baptism. That it certainly has been a journey for us. I've got some memories. I've married some people. I've buried some people. I've been in a police cruiser on a mission trip. I've been in a prison in France. I mean, I've got some memories. But it has been amazing. But I have to tell you this. I'm more in love with our future than I am with our past. I'm more in love with our future. I'm more in love with what's coming than what I am with the past. And so today's not going to be a day about just going down memory lane and what all's happened and let's hear some stories from these people. I mean, we've got those, but today is going to be about let's dream on. Let's dream on. Let's look and let's see what is the dream and where is it that we're headed. And so I want to share with you these things that are going to be taking place while we're 15 years old, that we're not going to let the year go by without some things that are going to end up rolling out. And they're exciting, and I just want to share them with you. So one is, we are just under 2 months away from launching our Crosspoint daycare. That June 11th, we are going to be starting a daycare. Now, it's going to be on a limited scope. We're going to start at birth through preschool. It's just going to be that age group only. And why are we doing this? We're doing this because we believe that this is going to create another on-ramp to our community, of exposing who we are as a church, being able to help them with that need. And many of these people are going to be unchurched families that are going to come and going to use this. And when they end up experiencing crisis, when they end up experiencing trouble, when they're showing up and they're hearing somebody, hey, you ought to come check out our church, and they're hearing that we believe that it's going to be one more on-ramp for them to be able to come in and hear the message, the hope of Jesus. Obviously, we believe there's going to be some people who are regulars around here that they're going to want to use that, and that's going to be great, and they're certainly going to be welcome to do that. But we really just see that as this is one more way for us to be able to reach our community by launching this. As we look ahead and just see some different things, that one of the things as we look ahead and we plan into our future is that we have a ministry called Growth Tracks that we're really wanting to get going. And it's about us being able to equip these people that they already believe, but they want to have a solid foundation. They want to be able to understand and know some things better. They want to be able to get into a place where they can ask some questions and get some answers. And so we're going to be launching Growth Tracks this fall, to where people that are believers, they're going to be able to go, hey, can I sign up for that? Can I be part of this? And we're going to walk them through some classes where you can learn more about your faith. Something that we've been trying to put off as long as we possibly can. And in our 11 o'clock service, you might look around and go, really, do we need to do that? But we absolutely do. And that is, we've got to be going to a third service. And our biggest bottleneck, and some of you guys know this, it's our preschool ministry. It is our clubhouse. It's our biggest bottleneck. It's where we're running out of space. And in order for us to create more space, we're going to have to create more service times. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And we're going to be doing that this coming fall, at the end of the summer, at the beginning of the fall, is right out of summer. We believe that we're going to be moving into this. And we're not even sure yet. We've got a few weeks before we make up our mind and start moving toward this. When's that service going to be? Because I can tell you that, part of the discussions, is it a Saturday evening service? Is it another service on Sunday? Is it an earlier service? Do we shift all the service times? Do we have three back-to-back? Those are certainly in discussion. And here's a third one that you've not even heard of probably, but we're actually contemplating doing a Monday night and making a Monday night service. And allowing that to be a time that people that might be gone on the entire weekend, that they can still come back, and on Monday they can be able to come and be part of the service. But we know that we're going to be launching a third service, and it's coming this year, is one of the things that we're going to be doing. We also know that's probably not going to be enough to take care of our children's ministry areas. And so we've actually been working on and designing how can we reallocate space that we have. How can we take some square footage that we have, not building a new square footage, not adding to our campus, but take what we already have and reallocate this and be more efficient so that we can give more space to our kids' ministries because they need more space. And so we've got that in the works that we've been working on, and we really believe that before we turn 16 years old that we will already be starting on and working on and having some construction taking place so that we will have that space. One of the things that's going to be coming as well before we turn 16 years old is we're going to be launching something that we're calling Plan Your Visit. Plan Your Visit. And it's going to be for those people that they've never been here, that they're going to be able to plan the Sunday they're coming. They're going to be able to know, hey, I'm going to be able to come and you guys are expecting me. And they're going to have somebody they've already been in conversation with before they ever show up to the weekend service. And when we do this, we're going to be doing a whole marketing campaign across social media. If you're on Facebook and you're looking for it, if you like our church, you're not going to see it. Because we're going to market that to people that don't like our church. I'm not encouraging you to unlike us. But we're just being specific on our marketing strategy, and the dollars we spend is going to be on letting those people know in our targeted area that do not like us already, do not know about us, or just haven't said, hey, I love that church. That's who we're going to be marketing this to. And they're going to come, and they're going to pull up into a parking space that has their name on it for that particular weekend. They're going to be met by a personal concierge, somebody that's going to be doing this ministry and going to be meeting them. They're already going to know them. They're already going to have been in communication during the week. We're going to have already registered anybody in their family that's going to be in kids programming. And so when they show up, we're just going to start walking them through and letting them see. But they're already checked in. And they've already been having communication with people. They've already feel like, you know what? I love this place. I feel like I know this place, and I've never even been here. But it's about plan your visit. And the last one I'll share with you is we really feel like we have not done justice. I have not done justice to sharing how important our volunteer ministry is. That I've sold that short, and I've not done a good enough job of communicating with you guys and sharing with you guys just how vital of a role a volunteer is around here. And so we're taking a new approach in the way that we're even going to brand this. I mean, it's not that we're not going to say the word volunteer. I'm sure that word's going to come out. But we're taking this new approach to how we're going to be branding this and how we want to get this out, because we really believe that if you could begin to see this, as valuable as what I see this, that we are going to just have more and more and more people volunteering, as well as the people that do volunteer already, of seeing that and owning that role of volunteering and owning that at a whole new level. And we're going to rebrand, and we're calling this Dream Team. Dream Team. And we're inviting people to be part of our Dream Team. And so our ushers are going to be coming by, and we've got a card that we're going to put in everybody's hand. It's a Dream Team card. And we're going to ask you to fill that in if you're currently volunteering, or to fill that in if you're going, you know what, I'm willing to be part of the dream. I'll help. That you'll be willing to take where your gifts and your passions are, and you'll help with that. That you can turn that in, and we're going to be given a gift today, and I'm going to get to that in a little bit later, about what that gift is, that we're going to let you exchange that card for a gift. Well, because I'm more in love with our future than our past, I really want to share with you guys some scripture and some understanding and where it is that we really feel like we've got to be heading as a church, why that mandate is there. So we're going to be in a few passages this morning. They're all going to be found in the book of Matthew. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 16. So Jesus, he's hanging out with his disciples. And as he's hanging out with his disciples, he's having this conversation with them, and he asks these guys, he says, hey, who do people say that I am? In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, what's the word on the street? What is it that you're seeing, and what is it you're hearing as people are having conversation? Who do people say that I am? And so the disciples speak up, and they're like going, hey, Jesus, some people say you're John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist had already been killed. His head had been cut off because he took a stand with a king. And so his life is over. And so some people say, hey, you're John the Baptist. That John the Baptist, he's been resurrected. He's back. He's just in a different body. And some people say, you're John the Baptist. Some people say that you're Elijah. This was this prophet in the Old Testament. And he was a prophet that never died. He was a prophet that he rode his chariot one day, and his chariot just took off up into the sky, and it just rode on up to be with God. He just, boom, he just rode up, and he was going no more. And he says, some people say that you're Elijah come again. And so then Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? Yeah, that's who others are saying about me, but who do you say I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, Messiah is Hebrew. We can say the same thing in Greek by saying the word Christ. So you can say Jesus, Messiah. You can say Jesus Christ, and you're saying the same thing. And Messiah Christ, it's the anointed one, the long-awaited one. It refers to the one who's been prophesied about, the one who would come. And Simon says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. The Spirit of God is what reveals this. Verse 18, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and this is where his identity changed. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. The church that God's in charge of, the church that God's going to build, the church that he says, Peter, I'm going to start with you to launch this and build this church, all the powers of hell will not prevail against it. And what's important to understand is that the church is God's plan to change the world. That the church is God's plan to change the world. That is the church that's going to be sharing, because the church is made up of, the church, capital C, is made up of everybody who's a believer. And that the believers are to be out there and to be sharing the message of Christ. And the church is God's plan to change the world. A couple of weeks ago, I invited you guys to take the book of Acts and to read that. And to just really see the action and what all takes place. When Jesus has risen from giving his life and to be able to watch the ministry unfold, because it is about the birth of the church. And it gets started, and you get to see there's about 120 people that believe when Jesus gave his life. And then Peter, this rock, he was used to deliver a message at Pentecost. And through this message that was delivered, there were 3,000 people that made that decision to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior and to see that he is the Messiah. You get two chapters later, and we move from being the church of 3,000 to being the church of 5,000, and the church just takes off. And because of what's at stake, we as a church, we have pressed in and pushed hard to be a church, A church that's not out there just trying to follow all the modern traditions of what a church should look like, but to be a church that's going to be intently focused on this unstoppable mission of reaching seekers and building believers. And it's an unstoppable mission. That we have to be on this mission. That God said, hey, I'm going to grow the church. And he invites people to be part of that. Would you like to be part of it? Would you like to be part of growing the church? Are you brave enough to take a risk? Are you willing to risk even being rejected to be part of growing the church? And growing the church is not for the faint of heart. Growing the church, it's not about taking and saying, hey, it's time to have a holy huddle. Everybody kind of hunker down and let's have a holy huddle and let's just protect everybody we've reached and make sure that nobody interferes with that. It's not about having a holy huddle. It's about being a church that you never lose sight of, that we have to be reaching people that are far from God, that we can never lose sight of that. Yeah, we've got to find the balance in there. And we did from the very beginning with our purpose. We're going to reach seekers and build believers. That we're going to do both. But we can never lose sight on reaching others. The disciples, they were certainly dedicated to following Jesus and creating a community. Creating a community where people felt like, hey, I can come and I can have conversation with you and I can talk with you. And through that community of sharing the life-changing message of Christ. The church never set out to be an organization that was just keeping people. The church set out to be an organism to reach people. That's what the church set out to do. Jesus taught us some things, and he taught us. He taught us that one of the things that we need to do with our life is we need to lose our life. It's like, what do you mean I'm supposed to lose my life? Well, you need to lose your life for the sake of finding your real purpose. You need to lose your life for the sake of even help find other people. That this is one of the things that we have to be, and we're not going to be a church. We're not going to be a church where the preferences of the insiders trumps the passion to reach outsiders. That we're not going to take, hey, what's your preference? And okay, well, that's more important than us being passionate about reaching people that are outside of faith. That we are going to continue to be that church. And Jesus taught us that we need to lose ourselves. To lose ourselves for the sake of finding others. And when we find our purpose in life, we find it through the process of losing it. That Jesus was constantly turning upside down the economies of what we thought was important and what we needed to be doing. And this was certainly one of them. In Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 32, Jesus said, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my heavenly Father." Did anybody recognize and acknowledge, hey, Jesus, hey, that's my Savior? That when it comes to eternity, then he's going to acknowledge those people that acknowledged him here on earth. Verse 33, "But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my heavenly Father." There's some people out there, it's a well-intentioned, but it's biblically inaccurate. They just want to take this approach of, well, everybody's going to end up in heaven eventually. It's all going to work out. It just doesn't matter. Our God's gracious, and he's just kind, and he'll let everybody. You're not understanding the word of God if that's what you believe. And yeah, it sounds kind, but yet it's one of the cruelest things that ever gets said because it gives a false hope. Jesus ended up sharing some things, and I think for some of you guys, I think today you're gonna see a Jesus that you never knew. As we look at further into this passage of Matthew chapter 10. Because Jesus had some things to say that was just like, wait a minute. Did you just mean what you said? Look at this with me. He says, don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. There's going to be a division. There's going to be a dividing, and he's going to be separating. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. He says, I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And some of you guys are going, check, he's done now. But as he brought this sword out, and he's saying this, he's saying, your enemies will be right in your own household. Some of you guys are thinking right about now, I've got a biblical household. It's right there. Look at what he went on to say. As we look at this, so you understand this. Jesus isn't saying that your family shouldn't be a priority. Because your family, they should be a priority. But Jesus should be the priority. Your Heavenly Father should be the priority. And your family, a priority. He's the priority. Our family is a priority. And we have to get this order right. He says, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. Take up your cross, your burden of what it means to represent him and to carry that. If you're not willing to do that, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. That it's in the process of losing our life that we find the purpose of our life. And this is what Jesus is saying. If you give up your life for me, you will find it. People who focus on loving others. People who focus on loving others and honoring Christ. They find that their needs, that they are met far more deeply than when they spend their life's energy scrambling, trying to meet all their needs. That the people who go through the process of losing their life end up finding their purpose in life. And the ones who do this and they care for others, they help others, and they seek to honor Christ with their life. The people who do this, they discover that their needs, they are met far more deeply than them just trying to meet their needs on their own. The church, it's the hope of the world. It's where we get to share the hope and message of Christ. It's God's plan to change the world. And I believe that if we really get this, if we really embrace this, if we really get to see this for just how Jesus laid it out to be, if we get on the proper side of that sword, then I believe that as a church, our doors are going to fly open wider than they ever have, and the transformation that's going to take place because of the ministries that we end up doing will be greater than any one of us could ever imagine. But it's about seeing the dream of who God has called us to be and living it out. So I shared with you that we're going to give you a gift if you fill in that card, and if you're already a volunteer, that you just put your name on it, check off where you're already serving. If you're not volunteering, that you go, you know, I'm willing to step up and I'll be part of that. That we're going to let you exchange that card, and we're going to give you a shirt that's going to remind you of how we see you. That we see you as part of the dream team. That you're not just a volunteer. That you are somebody that you are helping to carry out the dream. That we're going to reach seekers and we're going to build believers for the kingdom of God. that's what we're going to do. That we want there to be just a clear understanding. That people aren't going, hey, what'd you do? I just volunteered at my church. No, no. What'd you do? I helped work the dream today. Of really seeing it and understanding and knowing it. And taking it to a whole nother level. Of taking it and seeing it and beginning to own the ministry where you volunteer. To own that and to do it to the best of your ability, taking your gifts and your passion. To understand that there's a high responsibility here. To understand that there are lives that are at stake here. And to do all that you can in that role. And living it out. See, the church is God's plan to change the world, but the dream team is our plan to change our piece of the world. The dream team, that's our plan to change our piece of the world. And I'm inviting you to be part of that plan. Jesus went on, he said, anyone who receives you receives me, and anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. And if you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Jesus built a dream team in his disciples, and they carried on the ministry as he departed to return back to his position of being at the right-hand side of the Heavenly Father. That he built this team. He didn't do all the ministry himself. One last passage as we finish up. Also found in Matthew chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. He was talking to fishermen. Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. I have a purpose that is bigger than what you are achieving, and I am inviting you to come and be part of it, part of this. That the disciples would have to leave the life they knew in order to experience what Jesus was inviting them to be part of. Verse 20. And they left their nets at once and followed him. I know that some of you, after today, you might actually just leave here guilty. That you're just going to leave here guilty. You're going to go, man, I had that card. He was really talking about that, being part of the dream and being part of the dream team. And, you know, man, that was a good pitch. And you know, I feel like I ought to, but I just don't have time right now in my life. And so I'm just not going to be able to make that happen. And so good job, Will. You made me feel guilty. Got my toe stepped on a little. Kind of felt like I was in the church of my youth, you know, because that's how they used to do it. And you might just be going, okay, I'm going to leave here guilty. But I don't want you to leave here feeling guilty. Instead, I want you to see the one thing that happened. They left their nets and followed him. Some of you, yeah, your schedule is so full that you go, I can't volunteer. And if you don't drop something from that schedule to be part of something bigger, not only are you going to miss out personally, but you also are going to miss the joy of seeing the impact that you can make in the lives of others. They left their nets to go and follow him. And some of you, you're going to have to leave something in order to have the time to serve your Heavenly Father, to serve him, and to serve the church that you are part of. And if you do this, I just firmly believe that you're going to see, you're going to discover that your needs are going to be met far more deeply than what you're trying to do with your life to find meaning and satisfaction and joy by just trying to do everything yourself. It's in the process of losing our life that we find the purpose of it. And I'm inviting you to be part of the dream. Pray with me. Jesus, it is certainly amazing. It's amazing to have been part of this church for 15 years. God, it's amazing to see so many valuable volunteers that have done so much. But God, I believe as I just look to the future, I believe our better days are ahead of us. I'm more excited about our future than I am our past. I believe there's some people here today that they've got to leave something so that they can begin to be who it is that you're calling them to be. And I pray that you would give them courage. I pray that you would give them that desire and that they would not deny that. And that today would be the beginning of a new journey in their life. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.